Hello everyone, welcome to Spotlight with Shubham. I'm co-founder of Mastera, an all-in-one platform for teachers, coaches, and trainers to run and scale their online knowledge business. Today on Spotlight, we have Olivia. Welcome, Olivia.
Hi, Shubham. So wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We are looking forward to have a great chat with Olivia today. And just a quick introduction, she is a weight loss and mindset expert working as a health and empowerment coach. She has number one best-selling book called Lose the Weight, Create Your Healthy State. And it is about how to lose both the physical and emotional weight needed so that you have the energy needed to contribute to purposeful work. So that sounds pretty exciting, Olivia. Tell us more about you and your journey. Would love to know that.
Yes, thank you for that introduction. So, currently I am working as a health and empowerment coach, and I did write a best-selling book this year, and I'm really happy about it. It's been really a fun process for me that has been better than I expected. So that's been really fun. I've been in this industry for almost 20 years, and I did not call myself a coach until about maybe 2 years ago. I think I would have called myself a high performance specialist or a fitness instructor. I would have maybe called myself a health coach, but I really stepped into coaching only a couple of years ago, full time during the pandemic. And I was working as a fitness instructor and helping people lose weight and get stronger in their body. And I had a very holistic approach to health always because of my own journey. I suffered from compulsive behavior disorders growing up, and I also had a lot of disassociation from childhood that left me afraid of emotions and afraid of my own emotions. So I have been on the personal development train here and personal growth journey for a really long time. And so I've integrated my learning into obviously helping others in my business that I've been running since 2005. So I've always, I guess, been a coach, but I really stepped into the coaching space full time when I stopped training people one-on-one and in groups in person during COVID. And it was a blessing in disguise for me in particular, because I knew I wanted to help and support people in a different way that didn't feel like them having to be dependent on me to take care of themselves. And I think that there's a really wonderful place for personal training. I think personal trainers are super valuable. But for me, I had just been doing it for so long. And a lot of my clients got great results and would stick with me for a really long time. The business was very successful and has been very successful. And so it was just hard to leave that zone of excellence to step into more of my zone of genius, where I really wanted to get creative with my business in a different way. So COVID was an easy out for me and I was able to step into it more fully. And the personal training space is needed, but the codependence part of it is just, once people know how to work out, it's really more beneficial for them to learn to work out without a personal trainer, because you can only go and see your personal trainer what? Maybe you're seeing them, most people can afford maybe twice a week, maybe three times a week, but things just come up, especially if you have kids or you move or you get sick or you're not feeling as energized, and all of just life happens. And it's really important that people don't get too distracted with just the workout, to take care of themselves and to take care of their health. So for me, this was a big shift of stepping away from that to say, look, we can't just focus on the workouts. Please don't go down that road. I see the benefits so much more when people are paying attention to all aspects of their health and not just getting too distracted by getting a sweaty workout in, 2 to 3 days a week. It's just not a sustainable way to take care of your body, especially after you're like, past 25 and you're not trying to become some athlete. So that's a little bit about my journey into becoming a coach. Happy to dive in to any of those areas that sounded interesting for you.
No, absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. That's quite a journey, 20 years, and you've been helping tons and tons and thousands of people there. That's amazing. You've been a great asset to the community there for sure. One question comes to mind. When did you decide that, hey, I want to become a coach, or I want to be a trainer, and why? What made you take that decision?
I think it was almost inevitable. I grew up in a martial arts studio. My dad, Andre Salvage, teaches Kung Fu Sansu, and it's a self-defense art. And as a little girl, I grew up sitting on those mats like every day, doing homework, participating in classes. I literally grew up in the studio. And sometimes the studios were, having a session in the garage, and sometimes it was a studio with, hundreds of people there. So I always have loved movement. I think I'm very connected to my body in that way, where it tells me exactly what it needs. And so I love helping and supporting others to do the same thing. I remember in college, I got really excited after feeling pretty down and depressed. And I had this moment of like, aha, thinking, oh, I know exactly what I want to do. And I couldn't explain it to him very well. And it was some kind of a combination between a PE teacher and a counselor or something. But really, that's kind of like what I do. Essentially, I'm like, teaching people how to move their bodies and, being their support network. And so I think that I knew I wanted to do this pretty early on. I just didn't have the pocket quite right. It took a lot of trial and error to keep adjusting it until it felt really good. And not to say it didn't feel good until now. It's just that I knew that there was more to do. I just didn't always know exactly how to change it as quickly as I would have hoped. So I started my journey as, getting all the yoga certifications. I feel like that's so much how people start off, right? Like I got all the yoga certifications. I got my master's in exercise science and became a high performance specialist. I thought I was going to work with more athletes and things like that. So I tried that on for a while, but it kind of was a sucky deal for me to travel with athletes. Like I just want to be home and do my thing. So I didn't really like that journey. And then from there, I started my own business and decided to run boot camps. This is at a time before boot camps was like everywhere. So thankfully, I was one of the first ones to start like an outdoor boot camp type of thing. And that got, a lot of traction. And then I was doing group personal training, obviously, and group coaching, group training sessions. And from there, it's just, the business, over 20 years, you're going to have to change it along the way because just the world changes. So part of that too is just like, okay, the world is changing again. People need support in a different way at a different level now. And that is kind of what happened at the pandemic. But for me, it's always been the same thing. I've been calling it something different along the way, but really it's like, let's talk about what's actually going to help people. And sometimes it is like, oh, people need help learning how to do a squat. Excellent. Like, let me tell you, oh, people need to learn how to eat healthier or be able to set boundaries, be able to speak their truth, be able to take a time out in their day to go outside and sit next to a tree, you know, whatever it is. I was already doing this coaching session, even if someone was paying me for a personal training session, right? And so it's always been about, okay, they show up into the gym or something with me. And I'm like, okay, well, what are you going to go do tomorrow? What else do you need to do today to feel proud of yourself? You know? And so, but I see it, you know, I'm asking people those same sessions now in a group setting or in one-on-one call with somebody through coaching. So I've kind of been the same person. I finally now get to claim it now as more of how I feel, almost 40 years old now, but I've kind of been talking about this since I was 10 and, you know, I was like the weird kid, you know, at 10 and then 15, even 20, you know, like who's that weird person, you know? So I've kind of been this person my whole life. And now it's just like, okay, cool. I can, be more of service. People get it now. I look the part a little bit more, so to speak.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Another thing I wanted to ask, since you talked about the shift during the pandemic, during the COVID. So you also talked about emotional weight. So which is a very interesting concept. That there's a physical weight and there's emotional weight. So I would love to talk more about that. Your thoughts around what is that emotional weight, and how have you seen that change and that evolve since the pandemic? Because I'm asking that because based on my understanding, there's been a lot more need of emotional help since the shutdowns and COVID and all of that. There's always been a need, but my understanding is that there's been a little bit more of awareness and more of a need in the last couple of years. But would love to know your and get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, great question. So the physical weight is a manifestation of whatever burden you're carrying. So, which is the emotional weight. So, for example, if somebody is having a really hard time losing weight, it's usually not about just the physical weight. It's everything else about their life that is contributing to the extra pounds on their body. It's just one way that it's manifested. Just like if somebody's overeating or having a hard time in life in general, and then they tend to emotionally eat or overeat. It's just the manifestation of something else going on, right? And then obviously the byproduct or the consequence is extra weight on the body. But this is the same for any compulsion, any compulsive behavior. It's just that this one is so, everyone else can see it, right? Like extra pounds, everyone else just, it's just more noticeable. But compulsive behavior could also just be like someone is drinking too much and it's an addiction, right? Or somebody is, for me, for my example, I was in compulsive behavior because I was overtraining for years and nobody even knew it. I was killing my body essentially. And I was left with an autoimmune disease, which was making blotches like red sores all over my skin. And so nobody noticed that as much. I can wear clothes or something to hide it, right? Or everybody thought I was amazing. They're like, wow, you are, you know, working with athletes and you're so fit. But really, I was unhappy. I was disconnected to myself and overtraining to kind of stuff the emotions, right? The burden I was carrying. And so when I was able to reach out for support and get the right coaches and the right mentors in my space, I learned the underlying cause, which is just people are disconnected to themselves. I was disconnected to myself And I wasn't able to feel like I could handle that on my own. And I used compulsive behavior. For me, it was overtraining. For someone else, it might be overeating or drinking too much or lashing out at their partner, or it can be so many things, right? And so with weight loss, it's really the physical weight. When I say that's what I mean by the physical weight is just a manifestation of something else going on. And the emotional weight we carry, I think that you're spot on. The world is heavy right now. If you're paying attention, right? The world is heavy and people are carrying a tremendous amount on their shoulders. People's allostatic load is higher. The load they carry just waking up in the morning is high. And so the higher the load, the more we carry, the more we need support. And so, yes, I see a huge shift in this. And I think people are really up for it too, which is just so fantastic. I think that, you know, the plus side of the pandemic has been that people took some time for themselves if they were able to, and got to look a little deeper to say, okay, what am I not showing up for? What's not working here? How can I feel proud and be excited about my life and not get rattled by external circumstances? Because it's just constant. The external world is a mess. So how can we as individuals feel really strong and have that internal state just not be rocked by what is happening around us? And having the strategies, the tools, and the techniques to do that is really essential right now, and why I love doing what I do. It's a new world we live in, and it's the new requirement to be able to have that internal strength.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I agree that the awareness level, which like you mentioned that COVID actually brought that thing in, where the awareness on the emotional side of things have gone pretty high and pretty up, and there's been a lot of acceptance to that as well, which is also awesome. Mm-hmm. Perfect. So that's great. Switching gears a little bit, I want to also know, since you have been very successful and you have been running business and a coaching business for now 20 years, I would love to know how you have been doing it, and sort of love for you to share some thoughts and tips around that as well, because a lot of our audience, folks in the audience are either starting as a new coach, they're thinking of starting as a new coach, or they're wanting to scale their existing business. So with that, I'd love to know from a marketing standpoint, how do you find clients, and how do you go about that part of the business?
Yeah, that's great. Okay. So let me maybe back up a little bit about maybe what I'm not doing now to help your audience who is possibly just starting off at as a coach and are thinking, maybe I can do this, right? Maybe this is something that would be fun for me to dive into. And I think that what people often get stuck on is, oh my gosh, I have to be out there, right? Like, I have to put my face out there. I have to talk to people. I have to share with people what I'm doing, and I don't know what I'm doing, right? It's like always the first thing that people kind of come up against. So it's important first that people think about the skill set they actually have. I think right now with the coaching industry, because it's not regulated, people are just like coaching on all these things they're not qualified to coach on. So the biggest thing is just have integrity. Please, please, please have integrity. And that is part of the core values I think of as a coach. And so pick something that you're actually an expert in. Pick something that you know really well and something you can speak on. And then you want to think about, like, what is the market? What is a sellable thing, right? And so what does the market actually also want? So you have, here's the market, and then here's what I'm good at. And you hopefully are going to find overlap on that. And that is the thing that you can then say, okay, this is what I know I can help somebody with. This is what I know I can go and step into and feel like I'm in alignment and in integrity, and I'm doing no harm, right? So from that starting point, I think that it's really about having the courage. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to just step into the arena, so to speak, and put yourself out there. So the first thing is to get all of your certifications, okay? Get everything that you need to have so that you are feeling in alignment here. And then from there, you're wanting to tell people what you're doing. You're wanting to really start with just people that you already know. Every single person in your contact in your phone, you're going to, you know, post on social, you can send out newsletters, you can have your friends and family spread the word. You want to start, you got to start small in a way, not small, but you got to just start with who you know is really important. And I think people think they're going to skip that step somehow and then all of a sudden be speaking at a TED conference or something. And it just doesn't work that way. You want to start with every single person you know. And you can do that and make great money, by the way. You can do that for probably a long time and be making anywhere between 1 to 200K for sure, just by having definitely $100,000 for sure a year doing just that. Once you hit kind of like the organic, you know, you've already done the organic kind of the thing where you're just going in your backyard, you want to move into a little bit more scalable of a business and marketing plan. And it's really about getting in after you hit that 100K mark, it's really going to be about getting in front of new audiences and having ways and systems in place to do that. It's also just a little bit about knowing when you're going to need help. Knowing when to hire an assistant, like usually about that 100K mark is the time, like you're going to need help. You're going to need at least an assistant to do some of the back end work. And being able to have an actual system in place where you're not worrying about money coming in. A lot of the time is spent for me right now, just building awareness about my business. Still, right? And it is a constant, like that's the majority of my time. And I think a lot of coaches get caught up in, oh, I just like to create content and I just want to work with people. And I'm like, yeah, but if you want to do that and be consistent and not have months that you're dipping, you want to constantly be putting yourself out there and getting in front of new people. So whether that's you're going to continue to do organic marketing or something more scalable, like, you know, boosting posts on Instagram or, you know, collaborating with some type of influencer or something like that. Here I am on a podcast, for example, right? I love being on podcasts. So podcasts are my jam. And it's something that is, it's not an easy business, but it's not any harder than any other business. It's just, you have to be consistent. And you have to know your stuff too. You have to be good. And that's right. Why I also think that it's important to be that expert, have integrity, just coach on what you know. Don't try to be the coach for everybody. Be the coach for the thing that you know, and then continue to speak on that over and over and over again. Be willing to talk about the thing that you know over and over again.
Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And I agree that there are a lot of coaches. I was actually speaking with someone and they mentioned this thing that a lot of coaches fall into like two buckets. One bucket is where they are just focused on content and then training and all of that. And then marketing is lacking a lot. And even though they are, they they could be the best of the best if marketing is not a focus and that generating awareness is not a focus. It's going to be a slow start and going to be quite too difficult on that. And then the second bucket is who are like natural in terms of marketing, putting themselves out there,
right.
and then they love to kind of be out there and post and stuff like that. And the second bucket generally does well, even if they are at a scale of whatever scale is, if you like, in terms of how good a coach is, even if they're not the best of the best, they will do much better because there's awareness. So marketing is definitely critical.
Oh gosh, it's everything. Yeah. I mean, I wish it wasn't. I mean, if I had my choice, I would just, you know, coach, right?
Yeah,
but you can't just do that. You have to be willing to put yourself out there. And yeah, there's so many great coaches I know. Really, they're just fantastic, but they don't do the marketing piece. And then I know so many coaches too that are like, you know, putting themselves out there, just like you said. And I'm like, I wouldn't recommend them to anybody. Right. And so not to be mean about it, it's just like, they're pretty, you know, and it works.
Yeah.
But
right.
I think that it is important to, you know, if you are looking for a coach and you're someone who's listening to this, just be discerning with what you're signing up for too, because it is not a regulated market here. And it's important to just, you know, pick and choose wisely. And it is, yes, the marketing piece is just has to happen. So much of the time, these amazing coaches that I'm talking to, it's just, they're just obscure. Nobody knows about them. Right. So don't let obscurity stop you from serving and from shining and sharing your magic. So if this is you and you're listening, this is, this is your calling here. If you know you've got medicine on your heart to share, it's time to step in. The world is falling apart and we need your help. Like, there is plenty of room for more coaches, who are working in integrity. So it's a good time to step in.
Yeah, makes sense. Another question on that. So how did you learn all of this? It seems like you're on top of this awareness and getting out there kind of game. You kind of know about organic marketing and social media and all of those things. Was it more like self-learning and sort of life taught you that because you had to do it, or did you get a formal training for that?
Yeah, I am not self-taught. I don't know who is. Who's the person out there that just teaches himself everything? I love learning, and I hire people to do this, right? Like, I hire coaches, essentially mentors, business consultants, to help me where my blind spots are. Like I said, like, if I had my way, I just sit around and read fiction novels, and then I take a coaching call. Like, that would be my life. And so, no, all of this has been learned. I've hired so many people to help me find out what I don't know. I mean, I'm constantly saying, oh, that person, you know, even when I decided to write a book, I was like, okay, I'm going to go write a book. This is going to be great. I'm going to be definitely a number one best-selling author. This is going to be fantastic. Let me go find someone to help me do that. Right. And so I found someone to help me do that. If I want to learn about marketing, like, I find a business coach, I find someone to help me do that. And so all of this is about finding people that don't have the same problem you do and then asking good questions to get that support. And I think that asking for help is crucial. Asking for support is so necessary. The days of the lone wolf doing everything is over. We have to move faster than that in business and as coaches, especially. So yeah, find people who can help you to that next level. And that's been my success, is finding the right coaches at the right time to help me with my business and being able to ask for help. And the emotional skills and like the coaching part, to be honest with you, a lot of that. So my father, I said, owns, you know, he's owned Andre Selvage and Associates. He teaches Kung Fu Sansu. But really, he was like a coach before coaches existed, before people even knew that that was a job to do. he's been a coach forever. So a lot of these skills too have just been for the coaching part has been me growing up in that environment, and having that role model, and being in that in the family I grew up in. So, but I like accreditability. So I got all the coaching certifications and did the whole, obviously, you know, did the other stuff too that people need to see behind my name. But most of it was just being able to grow up with somebody who's a really great teacher and a really great, really great coach, essentially.
Gotcha. No, that's a great point that we should be looking out for help wherever we need. And that kind of goes in, that's sort of the core philosophy of the whole coaching profession as well, right? Like you're getting connected to someone who's needing your help, which doesn't mean that a coach doesn't need any help. So wherever a coach needs help, coach should be able to connect with other coach and learn and sort of scale from that point on. So that's a great feedback and great thought that find your blind spots and wherever they are, whatever those blind spots are, find and connect with people who can help you fill those blind spots and keep learning and keep experimenting. So that's awesome. Perfect. So that's great. Any other tips that you want to share based on your experience with anyone who's wanting to scale? Maybe they started off and now they have only 10 clients and now they want to go to that 100K mark, which is what you were kind of referring to. I feel like that's the biggest hurdle that most people get into. They have something that they want to teach and they know that they have a skill, but then getting from that 0 to 100 or 0 to 1 or whatever mm-hmm. that scale is, that makes them kind of get stuck. So any parting tips, thoughts that you want to share on that?
Yeah, I want to say this before I dive into it, because I want to say that everything works and everything doesn't work. Meaning somebody can give you the plan, like, okay, send a newsletter once a week, send 20 newsletters once a day, right? Like, everything works and everything doesn't work, like post every day or whatever it is, make a reel, all of these things that people say to do. It works and it doesn't work, meaning you have to find what's going to be sustainable for you. And you're wanting to make sure that it's in alignment with what feels good for you. Because if I send 20 emails in a week, I kind of would want to barf a little bit. Like, that's just not me, right? But I know some coaches are like, yeah, I love it. I'm just like telling my people what I'm doing, you know? I'm like, no, I can't do that. Like, it's not going to, the energetics aren't there. So much of the business too is just like, if you're doing something because you feel like that's what you're supposed to do, you're probably not going to be able to keep doing it. It has to be something that you kind of enjoy or go hire somebody else to do it, right? So, but when you're talking about going from, I just wanted to put that caveat out there because there's so much information out there that's great. And it's also going to suck for you. It might work. It might not. But say you're a coach and you've kind of had a few clients and you've worked with a couple clients and you're like, ooh, this is fun. I like it. Right. You're wanting to make sure that you have, essentially in the coaching business, they call it the avatar, like your avatar, like your ideal client. Who is your ideal client? And you're going to want to make sure that you're speaking to them always. Meaning just think of one person that you're talking to all the time and keep your messaging the same for like a year. Like, don't change your mind about who you're talking to. So if people can be more consistent with who they're trying to market to, your marketing will be cleaned up better so that you're not just, people are confused about what you do. You don't want to confuse the market. Make it easy for people to understand what you do. Like, I am a weight loss and mindset expert. Everybody gets it, right? It's not to say I just help people with weight loss, obviously, right? It's just don't confuse people. Don't confuse people in that space as a coach. So It's an opportunity to keep your messaging clean. And there's also an opportunity to say, like, if you're going to burn out as well, if you have whatever, four to eight coaching calls every day, right? Like, that's just not sustainable. So I do love group coaching. And so it's important that once you hit that space of, okay, someone on ones, I know I can create a win for a lot of people. Like, I've done this somewhere between 5 and 20 times, doing the same kind of process with somebody, and I'm getting them the same result. It would then be time to move into group coaching, where you're helping more than one person at a time doing that thing. And it's not to say you can't also just offer a hybrid where you're also doing some check-ins with them one-on-one. But if you're getting stuck just doing one-on-one coaching all the time, you're most likely going to burn out eventually. And it will be easier to do what you do, because there's so much work on the business that has to be done. That's not the client facing part. You don't have any time to actually work on the business because you're so busy in the business coaching, right? And as I said, most of my time is awareness building. So in order to have time for that, it's important to move into some type of group, have them go into a group container. And if I could have done it different, I would have done that a lot faster. I think I didn't do that until like a year in. And I was coaching like, 20 people a quarter or something like that. And that was not smart. Don't make that mistake. Like, transition into groups faster so that you're not going to burn out. And that is how you can easily get to that 100K.
Got it. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing all those. That I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners are going to find that super useful. There are like gold nuggets of knowledge, I would say. So with that, I won't ask more questions on the business side, but I do want to ask my last question to you, or want to talk about something. So I know that you have written this book. Do you want to tell us more about what that book is about? And if someone wants to grab a copy of that book, how can they find it?
Yeah, great. So yes, I wrote a book. It's called Lose the Weight, Create Your Healthy State. And people have so much knowledge. Okay. Everyone knows what to do. Most of the time, there's sometimes people have like blind spots or just things they didn't know and information they didn't know. But really what the book is taking people through the steps to empower their health and kind of cleaning up all the things that you possibly don't know about what that actually takes to have the energy you need to contribute to your purposeful path, your contribution to the world, you're advancing in your career, you're needing to contribute to purposeful work, all of the things that we want to go and do in the day. So I use the book as a way to help and empower people to actually do what's necessary. Only 2% of people are reaching their health goals each year, which is crazy. It's too low. Okay. We're all walking around exhausted and overweight and not feeling great, and then stressed out and burnt out. And then we wonder why we're unhappy. And so much of it is, we can't overlook just the body. The body wants to feel really strong and really happy and excited to wake up in the morning. So this book is about how to do that. Okay. I would love to give my book to your audience for free. If you go to losetheweightbook.com, you will get a free copy of my book because you're listening to this podcast. And I would love to share it with your audience.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that giveaway. I really appreciate that. And then lastly, if someone wants to get in touch with you, and I know we'll have folks who'll be probably interested in asking some more questions or maybe wanting to work with you, how do they get in touch with you?
Yes. So you can find me everywhere at Olivia Fish. So happy to have people go anywhere on the internet or any social media platform. And you can find me at Olivia Fish, OliveyaHFISCH. But also, if you download a free copy of my book, there will be a way for you to reach out to me. So the best way is go to losetheweightbook.com, because it's easier to spell than Olivia Fish, the way I spell my name. And if you go there, you'll be able to have a way to contact me as well to reach out. And I love to connect with people. So yes, please feel free to reach out to me.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Olivia. It was absolutely pleasure talking to you. And thanks for sharing all of that amazing tips and information